Certainly we thank God. He's real. He's real to me. He's real to you. And we know that he deserves praise, honor, and glory. For God is God and he's God alone. He's above all and all is beneath him. And he orchestrates our affairs that his will be accomplished in us and through us for his glory. It's good for us to be alive. God has blessed us. He has brought us through the storm and rain. And we ought to be glad about it. It's a good day. It's a good time for us to assemble ourselves together and dine at his table, that he will make us full. He promised in his word that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And certainly we thank God for his awesome promises and his provision for us. Psalms 25. First five sentences. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. And we would end our reading with verse 46. If you have it, say amen. If you're looking for it, say wait. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Amen. God's word for God's people. God's word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy, divine, righteous word. I want to talk about the prayer of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus. Matthew 26 brings us closer to Jesus' crucifixion. His public ministry, teaching ministry has ended, and the religious leaders have plotted his death. Jerusalem was full of Jews who had traveled from far and near to celebrate the Passover. Passover, a Jewish festival, which remembers the escape of the ancient Israelites from Egyptian slavery. It is in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus connected his death with the Passover. Not just mere day and time, but with the significance of Passover regarding salvation. That at the original Passover, during the plagues of Egypt, during the time when the Israelites were enslaved by Pharaoh, a lamb was sacrificed in each Israelite's household to save the Hebrew people, the Jews, from the death angel. We read of it in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. It was blood from the sacrificial lambs. It was taken and placed on the doorposts of the Israelites' dwellings, causing the death angel to pass over the houses that had the blood on the doorposts. All persons, every person that was within the house or the houses that had the blood on the doorposts were spared. The death angel did not bring them to death because they were under the blood. And God respected his orders to the Israelite people to put blood over the doorposts so that they would be recognized as his people. Here it is. Jesus Christ is our lamb sacrifice, blood shed, so that the eternal death angel would do us no harm. It is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5:7, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. While Jesus walked the earth, he was down by the river Jordan. And John the Baptist saw him coming, and he said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That in the Old Testament, we see many acts of sacrifices that, and the blood taken as an act or a way of atoning. But in the New Testament, there's a once and for all sacrifice made of the Lamb of God that we are covered. And those of us who are covered by the blood don't have to worry about death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about death perishing eternally, because Jesus is our Passover Lamb. That's celebratory there. That's good news. That we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus did. We discover by way of scripture that Jesus was tasked to die before he was ever born. And according to Revelation 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, the death of Jesus was not an afterthought. Sean Brazza said, long before Adam was created and placed on the earth, long before he sinned in the Garden of Eden, long before the work of the cross was ever accomplished to undo the damage of sin, that the work of the cross had already occurred in the mind of the triune Godhead. That Jesus Christ destiny was predetermined long before he ever became a man, and long before he ever was a creation, long before there was a creation, Jesus Christ was destined. It was determined in the mind of the Godhead that Jesus Christ would die for our sin. There's nothing in his earthly life occurred fortuitously. Even his miraculous birth and graphic death, which in the eternal plan of the Godhead, God provided the Savior. Hear this now. God provided the Savior before man ever became a sinner. That Jesus is not a backup plan. He is the original plan of God before the foundation of the world. Is by way of the text, Matthew 26, verses 14, 15, before Jesus and his disciples met in the upper room, Judas met with the religious leaders and agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I want you to make note that this is a cheap sellout. You know, and most times when people sell you out, they sell you out for cheap. 30 pieces of silver, equivalent to a common laborer's work or labor for 4 days. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. A common laborer's work for 4 days. Cheap sellout. Jesus and his disciples went into the upper room and they ate the Passover together. Now, I want to interject that Judas was with Jesus and the disciples in the upper room. Now, while they were eating, there were 2 meals ate in the upper room. First off, there was the Passover, which is also called the Last Supper. But then, after the Last Supper, Jesus instituted what is called the Lord's supper. Same place, same time. Jesus ate with his disciples the Last Supper. He exposed Judas during the Last Supper. Judas left before he instituted the Lord's Supper. See, if you are not under the Lordship of Christ, you have no business eating the Lord's Supper. Judas left. And whatever he was going to do, Jesus told him to go do it quickly. So he partook, or he ate of the Last Supper, but he did not partake of the Lord's Supper. Here it is in verses 30, 35. And when they had sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Here's the problem. They were overconfident in self. And what Jesus did was expose them for being self-confident. He exposed the overconfidence of the disciples. Now, let me pause to say, when you catch a person talking a lot, expect very little. Now, I want y'all to catch up with me now. I want y'all to understand what I'm saying. When you catch a person bragging about how down they are with you, and they're your ride or die, they're your partner in the foxhole, and regardless of what come or go, I'm with you, dog, and you can depend on me. Now, the more they say it, believe it less. Because a person that has to constantly remind you that they are with you are trying to convince themselves that they are with you. See, I've learned in ministry, I don't need a big speech. I just need to see the service. Did y'all catch that? Yeah, I don't need a whole big speech about, well, yeah, Reb, I'm with you. And Pastor, I'm telling you, now, if you go, I'm going. And I'm telling you, man, I'm with you now. Come Gehenna or high water, I'm with you. The more they talk, the less you believe them. Peter and the disciples had over self-confidence. And what happens when a person or persons have over self-confidence, that overconfidence leads to failure. See, you know, I've learned to say, the truth is, I don't know what I'll do. But I pray I don't. You know, I don't know. If you put me in some circumstance, situations, the truth is I don't know what I'll do. But I pray I don't. You know, some of these situations I see other people in and they have failed in, I don't go and put myself up because I haven't experienced what they have experienced. What I say is, I don't know what I would have done if I was in their position. See, if you go around bragging about, you know, yourself, especially when it comes to other folks' failure. Notice what Peter said. Peter said, if all the rest of them deny you, turn from you, desert you, I'm with you. And y'all know what happened. He denied him. Just as Jesus said. So you watch people that put themselves up at the failure of another. At the weakness of another. Because they're trying to make themselves look good because someone else has failed. Jesus says, all of you. He puts us all in the same boat. He says, all of you. You know, just as he did in conversation in the upper room while they were talking about the one who would betray him, his traitor, and all of them said, is it I? Because all of them had the propensity of betraying him. You had to watch it. So don't go bragging about yourself and talking about how strong you are and what you won't do. You be careful now. We'll be watching you on the news. Be careful. Don't do that because you've been in church 20 years. 30 years. You know, you just humble yourself down before God, especially when the Lord tell you. See, the Lord told them that all of them would fail. Now, this is the word, these are the words of Jesus. He said all of them would fail, but yet they were arguing against him. No, not I. Not I. And they fail. Now, watch what led to their failure. It wasn't the fact that they denied that they would fail. It's they didn't prepare themselves not to fail. Because Jesus did something in their sight, in their presence, that they did not do. And it's right in the text. He prayed. As he was facing the most difficult trial he would face in his life. He had to drink of the cup. And the cup holds the mystery of his suffering and death. The cup symbolized the suffering Jesus would be required to undergo in the horrible death that awaited him. He foresaw not only the fact of his death, but the very method of his death by way of execution, the crucifixion, his crucifixion. He saw his death before he died. And he prepared himself for the inevitable, what was before him, what he was destined to do, by falling on his face before God and crying out unto God in communion with his Holy Father. Yes. Notice what he said. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes and be condemned to death. And you see this, we'll deliver him to the Gentiles, to to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. He saw his own death, the method of his death. He knew how gruesome it would be. But yet he set his face toward Jerusalem to accomplish the will of his Father. And he prepared himself by praying, by communing and conversating with his Father before he had to go and face crucifixion. Brothers and sisters, there are some hard times ahead of us. And what grieves my heart most is people not prepared. See, there's a consequence far beyond you know when you skip out on all that God has set before you to prepare you for events to come. And let me warn you, if you skip out on the process, there is no such thing as instant maturity. You won't be ready when you come to it if you have skipped out on all of the process. Jesus, he had a process. He prayed unto his Father because he knew what was ahead. He prayed unto his Father because he had the drink of the cup. Jesus spoke of the cup as a symbol of suffering in a general sense when James and John came to him seeking the place of honor in his kingdom. He said in Matthew 20, verses 22 and 23, he said, but Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. See, we're asking for elevation without understanding that there is no elevation without suffering. See, we beg for more. And we don't understand that there is no more receiving more without responsibility with the addition that's added to your life. And with addition comes enemies. If you can't stand the top limbs of the tree, stay low. I said something then. And I think I said it again. If you can't stand the top limbs of the tree, stay low, because when you are at the top, the little boy's aim is not at the birds at the bottom, it's at the bird at the top. You acquire enemies when you are elevated. They wanted seats, but they didn't understand what it required. Jesus said, are you able to drink of the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. There it is again, that self overconfident in self. We are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. He prayed. Now, here's the picture. Jesus enters into the Garden of Gethsemane with all of his disciples. He tells nine to stay just a little ways into the garden. And he takes three, being Peter, James, and John, his inner circle. Now, I want you to understand, by way of paradigm, the dynamics of Jesus' disciples and how he relates to his disciples. You know, people tend to say, well, you have to treat everybody the same. Jesus didn't. Y'all quiet. Jesus gave special privilege to Peter, James, and John. The truth is, you can't treat everybody the same, because everybody is not the same. He took further into the garden Peter, James, and John, and he gave them assignment. He says, watch while I pray. Watch while I pray. Now, here's the irony. Jesus is dealing with exceeding sorrow. He's in a place that signifies pressing. Because Gethsemane was the place of the olive garden. And in the midst of the olive garden, they had a press, an oil press, that they would press the olives to abstract the oil. He's in a place of pressing, and the weight of what he's dealing with is pressing upon him. And he asks his three closest disciples to assist him in the garden while he prayed. The Bible says that he left them about a stone's cast from his point of prayer or praying. And he goes before his Father and he prayed. Now, he asked them to watch. Now, to watch means to be alert, to stand guard. In other words, he was saying, watch my back. Stand guard. Now, it's by way of translation, we see that it is guarding at night, which is more intense than guarding in the day. Because in the daytime, you can spot an enemy from a long ways off. But at night, it is easy for an enemy to invade your ranks, to invade your space, because the enemy is hidden under the cloak of darkness. He says you need alertness. Be alert. Don't be drunken. Don't be drowsy. You need to be alert. You know, spiritually, so many people are intoxicated. So many people are drunk. Spiritually, so many people are drowsy. They are not watching as they should. They are not as alert as they should be. You know, a whole lot of stuff slipped by them because they are not alert. They are not attentive to what they should be attentive to. And they are missing out. And they are failing because they are not alert. They are sleeping when they should be up. And up when they should be sleeping. He says, watch. Be vigilant. Be a vigilant watchman or watchwoman. Don't you let your enemy ease up on you. Because when he comes, he doesn't come with a grand announcement. I'm on my way. Matter of fact, the Bible explains and describes his coming as that of a thief. No thief calls you and tells you, I'm on my way. They just show up. And when they show up, you better pray you ready. You know, some years ago, they had a bad home invasion problem. You know, out in the suburban areas, you know, people were just breaking into folks' houses, catching them unaware. You know, until it happened a few times. And people, when they were sitting down watching television, they would sit down and watch television with their peace be still. You know, with their weapons of mass destruction, because no one knew if they would be invaded by some deranged man or woman entering into the home, not only to rob them, but to kill them. So they started sitting on the sofas with guns, or having guns in special places, so if there was a noise that indicated force entry, they could defend themselves. See, out of all that's happening, Satan being a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet, you sit there comfortably like nothing is going on. Jesus says, watch. He says, watch. What I need you to do now for me is watch. If Jesus' words echoed through the centuries and spoke to us tonight, Jesus said, will you watch? How many of you will be guilty of what the disciples did? Fall asleep at your post. And your drowsiness, your sleepiness, is an endangerment for everybody with you and around you. He says, I need some assistance. They coming. Watch. And then he says, pray. Now, he said pray because he knew what was coming. And I want you to hold that thought as I get deeper into it in a minute. He knew what was coming, and he needed them to be prepared for what was coming. See, we just preaching and preaching, trying to get y'all attention, trying to get y'all to do better, trying to get y'all to live better, trying to get y'all to be more faithful and more committed to the will of God, and trying to get you to even be a witness and all of that. And you know, sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low, you know. But that's a daunting task. That's tough. Not just the preaching, but to see people in their ill response to the word of God. He says, watch and pray. Now, you can tell by some people's behavior that they have a very little, low, or no prayer life. Nobody had to peep in your window. They just see what's happening, what you're doing when you're out. And you can tell prayer did not bring them to what they're doing. Matter of fact, for some of what they're doing, they didn't even consult with God. Because what they're doing is not even of God. He asked for assistance. Let me hurry on. Secondly, we see his agony. His agony. He's in the garden, and he's agonizing over the cup. The cup, the agony was so profound that his sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood, and he was comforted by an angel. Here it is, the Son of God, so grieved over the cup, so agonized over the cup, that he's sweating and the sweat beads are dropping to the ground as drops of blood. And an angel comforts him, strengthen him. Now, notice the first prayer, verses 39 through 41. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, while praying, he begged his Father to remove the suffering he was about to endure, but emphasized that he desired the Father's will, not his own. Now, that's how we should end our praying. I don't care how long your list is of what you want God to do for you. I don't care, you know, how many assignments you try to give God, you know, how some people are. Well, Lord, you go by the hospitals and go by the nursing home and go by, you know, the sick and shut-ins house and all of that kind of thing. You know, we're good at assigning God. When God told us to go, we try to reverse the role in the prayer and we try to send God. But listen, when you get to the end of all of what you've said, your conclusion should be as Jesus concluded. Not my will. Your will be done. Listen, when I started really investigating prayer and what it's about and how to approach God in reverence and in fear and seeking God's will, you know, I stopped begging him so much and start thanking him a whole lot for what he has already done. And then I start giving myself to him for the fulfillment of his will. What is it that you want to do in my life and through my life? I don't exist to order God. I exist to be ordered by God. And we have to come to this resolve. Not my will, your will. Now that's a hard place to get to. As much as we got now, you know, as much as we own and all of that, we are real privileged people. And that's a hard place to get to. You know, where we drop, you know, the self-confidence and really lay our lives in the hands of God to say, you know, God, wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to say, I'll say. Not my will, your will be done. You know, we're with him until, you know, being with him causes us to suffer. You know, we're with him for the mountaintop experiences. But we are not so with him for the valleys. We're with him as long as our health is good. But what about when your health begins to fade? We're with him as long as we have a whole lot of friends and family members hanging around. But what happens when your obedience unto God began to run people out of your life? We're with him as long as we're comfortable. But what happens when he brings you to a place where there is no comfort? We're with him as long as we got a little change. As long as our bills are being paid every month. But what happens when your bills are unpaid? Because you don't have money to meet the needs, or you what you consider your needs. See, it's not our will. It's his will. If I had time, I would talk about how we give this little light surface idea of what it means to really be saved. In opposed to the word of God that reveals the requirement of God is for you to give it all up. It says as long as you keep your life, you lose it. But when you give it, you gain it. What about the rich young ruler that came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Sell all and give to the poor." And he walked away sorrowful because that was too high of a price to pay. You know, not our will. His will. Jesus prayed the first time and he came to the resolve, not our will. And he came back and found his disciples asleep and he reproved them. Now watch this now. The first time he found them asleep, he reproved them. This is the only time Jesus took action against them because of what they did in the garden against what he asked them to do. He didn't keep saying the same thing to them every time he came back and found them asleep. You know, for some people, they think you just got to keep on saying the same thing over and over and over and over for them to get the message. Jesus didn't do that. This was the only time he reproved them in the garden for sleep. Here's the second prayer. Said the same thing. Went a little ways. Fell on his face. Saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. But it does not say he said anything to reprove them. Here it is again. He went away a third time and he prayed, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Now, Judas was not in front of him, but he knew he was on his way. Now, he prayed. This time, he came back, found his disciples asleep, and he said to them, "Sleep on. Get your rest." He says, after a while, he woke them up and they went out of the garden, reunited with the other nine disciples, or eight disciples, and they went out of, in the garden, he was arrested. In the garden, he was arrested. Now, this is what I want you to understand. Because Jesus communed with his Father in prayer, he did not flee his enemies. He faced his enemies. See, when you are in prayer and communion with God, he doesn't give you the spirit of fear. He gives you the spirit of boldness to face your enemies. We run too much. We don't ever resolve anything because we don't face enemies properly. See, facing your enemies is not calling somebody else to recruit them to help you gang up on your enemy. Notice Jesus didn't play the recruitment game. What he did was he got up out of the garden and he knew what was before him, and he went and met his enemies face to face. So prayer prepares to confront danger. It prepares to confront enemies. Now, listen, it doesn't matter how, you know, so-called good of a person you are. Let me tell you this. You got some enemies. You know, I've run across folks to say, well, why don't you like them? It's just something about them. I don't like them. You know, nothing you've done. Some folks don't like you because of your height. Because of your, you know, complexion. Because of how, you know, you conduct yourself and carry yourself, you know. You know, I've told you this before, you know, people have said of me, you know, I'm arrogant, you know, and don't even know me. You know, talking from afar, you know, they want to make up some reason for them not liking you. You know, you can't get caught up in all of that and worry about that and stop being who God has destined you to be, and not run and avoid what doing what God has commanded and destined you to do. If you're waiting on everybody to get with you, you're going to be waiting all the rest of waiting all your life, the rest of your days. Let me tell you what I.V. Hilliard said. He says, go with the goers. Go with the goers. Listen, you need to pray now. I'm telling you this, and God brought us to this at the right time. That there are some hard times ahead of us. I'm hearing on the television more frequent and often now, recession. In times of plenty, put up for times of scarcity. You better pray and not be foolish in your living. Not be foolish to not prepare yourself, because when problems maximize, it has an effect on your health. It has an effect on your mind. And the only one who's able to keep you and console you, condition you for what's ahead is Jesus Christ. Pray. Pray before your pain. Father, we thank you for tonight, our Bible study. Help us, Lord, not be reckless and careless as Peter, James, and John were. Help us not be drowsy spiritually, but attentive and alert. Lord, that we be ready, that when the enemy comes in, Lord, we'll be able to stand and stay true to you and bring honor to your name. Lord, we pray for these your people that have come through the storm and the rain to hear your word. You kept them safe in their coming. And we pray that you keep them safe in their going. Be with us as a people, as your church. Lord, as we give ourselves to your will, Evangelism Saturday, Marriage Ministry Sunday, preaching of your holy word, we pray that some life or lives will be changed because they will be touched by the power of your gospel. Anoint our lips, strengthen us in our bodies and within, that we will be, Lord, soldiers on your battlefield. Thank you, Lord. in Jesus' name. Bless our sick and shut in members. Members that are low in illness. Members that are lonely. Don't have company in their home. Lord, I pray they know that you are a company keeper. That you are with them. And you will never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, guide us in all we do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.